Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paskatya Deshatarine Om Agyana Timurhandasya Gyana Gyana Salakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Jaina Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Vanshakalpa Tarubhascha Kripa Sindhu Bayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So, yesterday evening, we heard Krishna glorify the trees, and specifically the trees of Braj, for their ability to give even their own bodies in service to others. And then, seeing his friend struggling with hunger, Krishna, which they considered to be a demon, he told them very confidently where to go and what to do in order to be fed. Although the cowherd boys are completely transcendental to mundane hunger or thirst, their hunger is nevertheless a part of their loving relationship with Krishna. Being ordered by Krishna, these soft-hearted boys joyfully went to meet the generous-hearted brahmanas. From a distance, they saw the smoke swirls coming up in the sky. And they understood that that was where the yagya was taking place. And as they came a little closer, they also saw a multitude of brahmanas going here and there. A very elaborate ceremony was underway. The boys became fascinated by the atmosphere. The dense white clouds of smoke from the sacrificial fires pleased their eyes. The smell of the burning ghee gratified their noses. The warm air soothed their sense of touch. And the brahmanas' melodious chanting of different Vedic mantras delighted their ears. And most importantly, the thought that very soon they would be given some tasty food to offer to Krishna made their tongues salivate in anticipation. In this way, all the senses of the Gopa boys were gratified at that gorgeously decorated Yajnashala. Now, please hear a little more about this Yajnashala and the Yajna that was taking place. This Yajna was called the Angira Hotra, and it was being performed on the eastern side of the brahmanas' houses. And since the whole area was wonderfully decorated with flags and festoons, its presence beautified the brahmanas' white cottages. There were many, many different homas, all being performed simultaneously. And due to receiving a constant supply of wood, each of the sacrificial fires was burning very brightly. Every sacrificial pit was embellished by different levels of platforms on all four sides and sitting places for respectable persons. And a glorious multitude of brahmanas were seated everywhere chanting mantras. And many people were coming and going. Thus, from all these yajnashalas, auspicious offerings were being placed into the fires. While mantras were being chanted and the fires were blazing as the priests were conducting the yajnas. The boys looked around more and they saw there were many golden pots here and there full of pure ghee. And there were also clay pots full of purified water. They saw a mortar and pestle for grinding spices and other ingredients that were required in the yajna. And they saw a great abundance of kusha grass. And they also noticed that right in the center of all these yajnashalas, there was a raised platform. And on top of that platform were all the different offerings of food that were being made in the yajna. And they saw that the pots were very carefully arranged up there. Then the boys looked carefully at the yajnic brahmanas. They were reciting mantras and offering oblations. Oblations and their precise enunciation of the Vedic hymns with many sweet tunes pleased everybody's heart, and it sounded like a carefully composed display of beautiful poetry. And what kind of yajnic brahmanas were they? Well, since they paid close attention to performing yajnas at exactly the right time in the morning and the evening, and because they chanted their mantras so precisely, they had become quite wealthy by the constant performance of sacrifices. The boys also noticed that they had become quite effulgent from living according to Vedic principles. And they also noticed how, from regularly eating sanctified foodstuffs, they had become a little fatty. So the boys walked slowly forwards. Their bangles and their ankle bells jingled very sweetly. They bowed down very respectfully before these great brahmanas. And then they stood there with folded hands. Although these gopas were infinitely greater and more effulgent than the priests, the brahmanas remained very busy with their mantras and they paid no attention to them. From the corner of their eyes, they noticed the boys, who they saw by their dress, were simple cowherdess and believing in the importance of their elaborate sacrifice meant for the attainment of heaven, the brahmanas ascended a mountain of pride. And thus, they totally avoided these hungry children who made their request with pain in their minds. The boy said, "O Brahmanas, please listen. Please pay attention for a short time. We are friends of Balaram and Krishna, and we are coming here as your guests. Balaram is the embodiment of all wonderful qualities. And he's just nearby with his younger brother. They sent us to meet you because they told us that you are the well-wishers of everyone." You have great knowledge of the scriptures, so you can understand that Krishna and Balaram have great power. They have come very near to your respected selves with their cows. Krishna is the son of Nanda Maharaj, the king of Braj. And we have come here on his order. Whatever we are asking is the request of Balaram, his elder brother. Today we have come a great distance from Nandagram, and we came with our cows and we haven't had any lunch sent for us. And so we have not eaten anything since the morning. And we're very tired and hungry. Following the tradition of our families, we have come here to you, thinking of you as representatives of our fathers. Without any shyness, we approach you. And as fathers, we ask you for something to eat. We are starving. So kindly supply us with some food. After speaking like this, the boys remained silent with folded hands. The brahmanas saw them, but they didn't see them. And they heard them, but they chose not to respond to the request of the hungry boys. Because the brahmanas had no power to taste the sweet nectar of love for Krishna, they showed no interest in the Gopa boys, and in fact, they remained silent as if they were deaf. The boys considered within their hearts, "Thinking us foolish, these brahmanas speak amongst each other, but to prevent us from saying anything more, they answer us with silence. But Krishna must be emaciated by now. So let us show them that we are not merely uneducated children. We also understand the principles of yajna and sacrifice and offering food. Then the boy said aloud, "We know that one should not take food at an improper time. For example, the wise do not eat any food of an Agni Soma sacrifice, which requires initiation and involves an animal sacrifice. And nobody should eat the remnants of a Sotramani sacrifice. But one can take immediately right now from any other kind of sacrifice. So this is the ideal time to give us some food." If you have faith in Krishna and Balaram, who are making this request to you, then please give us something now. And if you do not want to give, then say so, and we will return to them. In this way, the boys acted like beggars, yet with sound logic, they established the meaning of the scriptures. Hearing their words describing Vedic regulations, the great Acharya Brahmanas thought within their hearts, "Just see, out of greed, these illiterate children are now making it their business to teach us about our duties. They have become very talkative. They seem to be coming from wealthy families. Yet they are eager to take charity and not to give. Alas, Kali Yuga has certainly entered this country." Some people say that Krishna and Balaram are the supreme lords. But if that is so, how could it be that they suffer from hunger or other petty needs like ordinary people? Thinking in this way, these unfortunate brahmanas continued their strenuous efforts for some petty heavenly reward. They could not understand that mercy was knocking on their doors, and instead, they thought themselves vastly learned and they refused to give anything. And why did they act that way, ignoring the humble requests of innocent children? Was it because they were not in the habit of entertaining the requests of young children? Or maybe their hearts were hard due to many animal sacrifices? Or maybe it was due to enmity or foolishness or insufficient piety? Or was it simply because they had not received any mercy of the Lord? The boys stood there, their faces turned downwards, pale from disappointment. Understanding that these brahmanas felt no obligation to give them anything, they looked at each other from the corner of their eyes in embarrassment. And then, lamenting their failure, they unhappily returned to Krishna. Those disconsolate boys entered the pathway of Sri Krishna's vision. He saw them coming. He saw their angry, sad, unhappy faces. And aware that the boys were broken at heart, Krishna came to them. He went to greet them. The boys conveyed all their frustration with begging, and he remained equipoised and displayed a smile on his peaceful face. Sri Krishna said, "If you think that the yogic brahmanas would not give you charity, it must be as you say." The boys smiled and they said, "You know what happened. Our hearts and thoughts are now all scattered here and there, pushed by the strong winds of those events." Krishna replied, "I thought that you would obtain food from those brahmanas, as one does from trees. Religiousness and charity reside in the hearts of one who is humble, and not in the hearts of one who is proud. I have established you here to determine the relative excellence between trees and brahmanas." Although still greatly disturbed, the gopas tried to explain the whole situation to Balaram. They said, "Oh, Rama, we have never seen such harshness as we saw today in the eyes of those brahmanas. They are brahmanas in name only. Actually, they were first-class fools. Mentioning your name, we begged. And what to speak of giving us anything, they didn't even answer us, which is the minimum response enjoined in the Vedas. In their homes, we saw them coming and going and saying so many things. Cook this, fry this, take this, eat this, come, bring, go inside, take this away. We even saw them eating palatable foods. Seeing the quality of generosity so dishonored in the hands of these brahmanas, we did not want to stay there for even a moment. Oh, Krishna, oh, dear friend, we brought back nothing except the smoke we momentarily inhaled, the sacrifice. Like Vedic injunctions, we hold your instructions on our heads. But how is it that your infallible words put us into such embarrassment. Krishna smiled mildly and listened to his friends. And then he spoke clever words mixed with sweetness. He said, "Oh, you boys, why are you so affected by false anger? You should not have such a defiant, antagonistic mood like a newly married woman. It is natural that your minds are disturbed because selfish people, like those brahmanas, always cause suffering to others. But finding faults in others is the habit of common people, and you should not see like that. Being preoccupied with their yajna, the brahmanas obviously could not attend to you. Now listen carefully and follow my perfect advice and receive your desired result." The brahmanas' wives are present in their houses. Those without pride do not execute dharma as the proud people do. They are the embodiment of kindness, compassion, and purity. They possess the wealth of having completely surrendered their minds to me. Instead of sitting on the ground, these ladies sit on golden thrones like queens, and their bodies radiate a splendid luster. And being adorned in golden ornaments, these ladies regularly receive and willingly give gold in charity. Although they are women, they do not take pride in sending beggars away, and they do not see anything unfavorable for my service. These ladies are like you. They consider love for me as their only priceless treasure. Tormented by not seeing me, they drink a little water only after 2 days, and only after 3 days they eat 2 or 3 bites of food. Filled with wonder, the boy said, "Oh, is this true?" And Krishna said, "Yes. These ladies will very happily give you plenty of food to remove your hunger." So feeling gladness in your heart, In my name, ask for abundant foodstuffs that will give you satisfaction. These wives are like desire trees with many, many branches, and they will definitely gratify your cherished desires. Oh, my friends, taking my word as a Vedic injunction, which is dear to you and dear to them. Go there again and beg for food. Being inspired by Krishna's powerful presentation, those Gopa boys left the Ashok garden full of many fresh creepers and riding waves of pleasure. They quickly returned to the Yagyashala, where in a submissive mood they approached the private chambers of the wives of those hard-hearted brahmanas. So tomorrow night you will hear what happened when the boys arrived, not at the Yagyashala where the Brahmins were chanting their mantras and everything was taking place, but Krishna informed them, go to the Patnishala, the place where the ladies are sitting. They're all sitting there, hearing and chanting about me. They're not taking part in this Agnir Soma. They're just thinking of me. Go there and tell them, I have come. Thank you. Hare Krishna.